This is the message delivered by Pastor Hon on January 8th, 2023. The message title is Remain in Me. The scripture passage is from a book of John, chapter 15, verses 4 through 9. Good morning, everyone. Let us look at today's passage. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 9. John chapter 15, verse 4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Following the New Year Day's worship service, I'd like us to continue this morning this year's theme scripture passage. If you have not been able to listen to the message of last Sunday, you can listen to it in the website of Megumi Church. Let us read together the 2023 theme passage. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and have overcome. Therefore, remain in me. Last week, we meditated on the first half of this theme passage from Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, which describes the struggle between God and Jacob. This morning, we'd like to think about the second half of the passage from John chapter 15. Therefore, remain in me, which describes that Jesus is the vine and we are his branches. Jesus said, remain in me. The state of remaining is a word with the connotation of being already there, maintaining and continuing the state of being there. In other words, Jesus' word, remain in me, is based on the premise that you are already with Jesus. These are the words spoken to those who have already been who have already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed, were baptized, and are living as believers. Of course, this does not mean that these words are useless. Useless words that cannot have any effect on those who do not yet believe in Jesus. It is highly probable that Jesus' words, remain in me, will make your heart tremble and change you to believe in Jesus. And many people must have been changed to believe in the Lord Jesus. However, since the Gospel of John itself was originally written for the purpose to remind the believers who were in the shipwreck of the faith by being severely persecuted, worried about life, and tempted by the love of the world of the significance, the love of the world of the significance, truth, and grace by remaining in the Lord Jesus, it can be said that Jesus' word of remaining in me is addressed primarily to those who have already confessed to believe in Jesus. Why then did Jesus have to say the seemingly obvious words remain in me to those who profess to believe in him, simply because staying with the Lord Jesus is not that easy. In the depth of Jesus' word, remain in me, you can see the hidden feeling of a kind of grief. It's not that easy to remain in me. Jesus, just as water naturally flows from top to bottom, if we continue to remain in the Lord Jesus and let it flow naturally, then there is no need for you to dare to say these words. But Jesus dared to say these words. That being said, the word of Jesus' question, remain in me, is not forcible. It's an important and a serious thing that could have been forced to do, but it's never forced. It is a word spoken to us, and it is a word that requires the decision by the will of those to whom it is spoken. It is a word that expects you to make a decision to choose and go with your own will. Rather than coercion, it is a conversation that expects a relationship of trust based on mutual understanding. Therefore, after Jesus said, remain in me, he made a manifestation of his own intention to us, saying, I also remain in you. This manifestation of intention by Jesus also teaches us that mutual manifestation of intention is essential for a relationship of love. In fact, the words and the feelings exchanged between Jesus and us, sinners, are not something that should be taken for granted. We can see that it is a blessing that exists only because the gap has been broken down that could not be filled however hard we make efforts. Before we were allowed to meet Jesus, we didn't have the choice of whether or not to answer Jesus' question. As we saw last week through Romans chapter 3 and chapter 8, all of us, without exception, are sinners, defeated by death and slaves of sin, drawn to eternal destruction. Slaves have no volitional powers or choices. Slavery is what you have to do even if you don't like to do. In other words, a slave to sin is someone who has been forced to live in a vicious cycle of status that they cannot help but want to sin. Far from expecting to bear the fruit that Jesus spoke of, those who do not even know what the fruit is, and because they are not connected to God, the branches that have been thrown away are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That was us. However, through the earnest efforts of God, who is full of love for us, and the execution of his plan, we become people who know the Lord Jesus at the right time, become people who are newly connected to God, and bear the fruit that Jesus speaks of. In other words, we were changed to the status and identity of God's children, who could choose to express our intentions and choose to remain in the Lord Jesus. We used to have no choice. With our own strength, no matter how much we wanted to choose, we didn't even know how to choose, and we were not even in a position to choose. But now, with the noble free will that God has given us, we have been transformed into a glorious position where we can make choices, decisions, and determinations to stick to God and stay connected to Christ just as freely as we wish. But the soulful words of Jesus, remain in me, have been uttered by Jesus. In other words, there are situations where it is as if we have given up the privilege of being able to choose, or we have made the wrong choice. Looking around us, there must be one or two people who used to be with us in the church, but are no longer with us. I had a very good non-Christian friend when I was in college. I invited him to the Bible study in the college and the worship service at the Megumi Church. And he even ate the communion bread and wine by mistake while he was still not a Christian yet. But in the end, he was baptized at another church in Tsukuba. But after that, he never remained in the church or Christ or Jesus. Even now, he is not connected to Jesus. There are quite a few other people who once enjoyed church life and worshipped together with us in the past, but are no longer with us. Every time I think of them, I cannot help but pray. Also, when I was studying at Fuller Theological Seminary, the seminary felt a sense of crisis about the current situation of the graduates, and it conducted a survey on the trend of the status of the graduates. It was a fact-finding survey on how people who graduated from Fuller Theological Seminary after 1995 were currently living. Close to half of them were neither pastors nor missionaries. On top of that, they had given up on being a Christian, let alone a church life. Even though a Christian is not something you can quit, there were so many students who, after graduating from the seminary, where they should have decided to study theology and live to preach Jesus Christ and the Word of the Bible, have stopped being a Christian, let alone a pastor. This fact shocked the entire school, and the school even started revising the school curriculum. The seriousness of these words of Jesus, "Remain in me," speaks to us with a sense of reality. And this kind of thing is not just the story of today, but it has been around since the time of Jesus. We have seen it once before, but the record of John chapter 6, verse 66 says that the word of Jesus, "Remain in me," is that of grief that has been spoken to the church through the ages. John chapter 6, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many of disciples here are not just one or two people, but in the order of 1,000 to 2,000. This chapter 6 of John's Gospel begins with a shocking miraculous work of Jesus. A large crowd of 5,000 men alone, and probably close to 10,000, including women and children, followed Jesus to hear the words of Jesus and witnessed Jesus' wondrous deeds, such as casting out demons and healing the sick. However, when it was late at night in a secluded place, Jesus felt pity for the hungry people who had nowhere to sleep and no food to eat. He performed a miraculous act of feeding 10,000 people until they were full, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that were offered by a boy. The leftover crumbs were enough to fill 12 baskets. Naturally, the large crowd that was there were all surprised and deeply moved, and they thought, "Oh, if I follow Jesus, even in a time like this, I will have at least the food support. Perhaps even if I don't work, if I follow him for the rest of my life, I won't be in need of food." Then, when they tried to make Jesus their king, Jesus naturally saw through their fleshly thoughts and left the place. Afterwards, Jesus did an unbelievable miracle from our point of view, though it would be nothing from Jesus' point of view, to walk on the lake to make it clear that he was the Creator who created the heaven and the earth and all in them. The disciples rejoiced in this as well, saying, "Oh, this person is truly amazing, and if we follow him, we will be able to gather power, wealth, honor, all attentions, admiration, and interest." However, the disciples became skeptical when Jesus told them the true intention of having nearly 10,000 people eat bread. Jesus said he himself is the living bread of life that came down from heaven. And if we do not eat Jesus' body, torn on the cross, and his blood for our sin, how much bread we would have eaten in this world, we will end up in eternal destruction, and that we will not be able to participate in the resurrection with eternal life on the last day of the world. Then many of the disciples said, "What are you saying? That doesn't make sense. All we want is the food to live in this world, healing of our body from sickness, glory and comfort in this world. There is no time to deal with such incomprehensible religious fantasies to recommend to eat human flesh." Finally, as in John chapter 6, verse 66, many of the disciples left. Let's take a look at the words that Jesus spoke to them, seeing through their thoughts. John chapter 6, verses 26 through 29. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." These are the words that Jesus spoke to those who did not believe in the Lord Jesus, but who pretended to believe in Jesus but actually believed in bread. The words of Jesus, "Those who have ears, listen. Those who have ears, listen." Have we really heard the words of the Lord Jesus? "Remain in me, and I bear the fruit that I expect. For the reason, remain in my love." There is a book I've been reading lately called Not a Fan, written by an American pastor named Kyle Eidelman. This book begins with the question, "Even though you say you believe in Jesus Christ, do you do it as a fan or as a disciple?" It's a pity that it hasn't been translated into Japanese yet, but in that book, he talks about what a fan is. The basic dictionary definition of a fan is a person who is passionately in love with someone or something. Fans are people who go to a stadium with paint all over their bodies. Fans are someone who enthusiastically support a team in the bleachers. Fans having T-shirts signed by the players on the wall and put stickers of the teams they support on the back of their cars. However, they do not participate in the competition, and they cannot. They do not run or kick a ball while sweating like a waterfall in the stadium. They know everything about the players and know everything about their performance records, but they do not have a private relationship with the players. They should and cheer, but they don't make sacrifice for the competition. What's more, if the team they're supporting keeps losing, their feelings of liking it will gradually cool down and they may end up switching to another team. Fans are just fans all the way. Then he asks, although you say you believe in Jesus Christ, is that as a fan or as a disciple? Those who left Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 66, are the people who think, I can follow Jesus as a fan, but no chance as a disciple. Last week, we looked at Jacob who wrestled with God. There is one important thing that we need to imitate him that Jacob kept doing throughout his life in all its forms and in all its clumsiness. It is to remain in God and in the Lord Jesus. The name Jacob is very much alive at this time. As the name Jacob implies, he continued to grasp to be with God, although his way of doing so was never praised, but rather wrongly, his brother Esau sought to become a channel for God's blessings. He saw God's blessings and the promises in the rights of the firstborn son, which Esau neglected, and Jacob tried to get it robbing it off. His methods were clumsy and cowardly, and he hurt his family in some ways, but in a way, his obsession with trying to remain in God was amazing. In Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob fought with God at the Jabbok ford, his focus and perspective were completely out of place, but he kept trying to connect with God and said, I would not let you go until you give me the blessings I wish for. He did not give up on continuing to remaining in God even here. And as a result of continuing to stay with God, he bore fruit. He reconciled with his brother Esau, which is the most beautiful, most valuable, and God-desired fruit of all human endeavors. The fruit of the vine that Jesus speaks of in John chapter 15 is directly the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, does not come from us, since it is called the fruit of the Spirit. And not all of them can come to fruition on our own without a relationship with someone. All of the contents of the fruit of the Spirit are fruits that are tied together in a relationship with someone. Love, forbearance, kindness, and self-control are all possible only when there is a partner. It is not the fruit that can be borne by continuing to assert my self-righteousness, my regret, my frustration, my resentment, my thoughts, and what is mine. The fruit of the Spirit can be born for the first time only by abiding in Jesus Christ, who makes me realize my sinfulness, my pride, my shallowness, my selfishness, my cruelty, my hypocrisy, my satanicness, my childish cunning, and so on, stumble and struck by his word. If Jesus' words If anyone wants to follow me, abandon yourself, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, is ringing deep in your ears. It means remaining in the Lord Jesus. When I hear someone say that I have hurted and disappointed him because what I did with my best about him was not understood, I feel like I'm boiling over and the strength in my body is lost, and I feel the middle of my chest is tightened and painful that make me go to bed. And after that, I think how ignorant he is, how twisted, how mean. I'll do something to prove that I was right. But God does not give me the chance to justify myself right away. Instead, God directs me by abiding in Jesus to let me recognize my own mistakes, my own pride, my own shallowness, my own lovelessness, and my own powerlessness. God directs me to anticipate my faith and its fruit by choosing to remain in the Lord Jesus, by enduring the cold, the lack of water, being exposed to the wind, and being stepped on at times. After all, when you have a bad relationship with someone, especially those who claim to be your brothers and sisters in Christ, you may be a fan of Christ, but you might unconsciously have refused to live as a disciple of Christ. It would be my stubbornness to stay in me rather than my resolution to remain in Christ. On the other hand, if I choose to remain in Christ, I will have to admit that I have a problem. Remaining in Christ is not an easy task, but it promises the fruit of the Spirit, the most beautiful, most valuable, and most desired fruit of all human endeavors. So let us remain in Jesus Christ. Let us be determined to continue our decision to abide in Jesus Christ. Let us pray.